You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Tuesday, September 17th, 2019, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Great to have you with us today on a day that's not great for the New York Jets. They fall to 0-2 on the 2019 season. They lose in pretty convincing fashion to the Cleveland Browns on Monday Night Football. We'll talk about the game on today's show. If you enjoy our podcast, please subscribe to it. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify are among your options. And leave the show a good review if you do like it. Let's jump in here. And it was, boy, that was tough to watch. Jets fall to the Cleveland 23-3. I felt going in like maybe the Jets had a shot just because Cleveland looked so bad week one that maybe it was just a situation where Cleveland was the team this year that was going to disappoint everybody. And they still might be because I don't think Cleveland looked that good in this game. It's just the Jets really had no hope on offense. And I think any fair assessment of this game would have to note that, first of all, you're starting with this backup quarterback who is not that great. If we're going to be honest, Trevor Siemian, he's about what you expect from a backup quarterback, where you're not going to get play that's very good. Unfortunately, you know, I said on a show, a recent show, that Trevor Siemian, at least you're not getting Bryce Petty caliber play. Well, with Trevor Siemian, the brief stretch he was in there, he really did give you Bryce Petty caliber play. I mean, he had no idea how to set the protection properly. He was airmailing throws. I mean, he just, it was ugly. He had no idea how to deal with the pass rush. It was a pretty brutal performance. I don't want to pick on Siemian too much because we knew he wasn't going to be great going in. And also, he suffered a really, what looked like a very painful injury. So, you know, hopefully he's okay. And Luke Falk came in, and look, Luke Falk's numbers look really good if you just look at the box score, but I think if you watch that game, Luke Falk did not look like a guy who belonged out there, and I mean, let's be honest, Luke Falk doesn't belong out there. There's a good chance Luke Falk will never belong out there on an NFL field. I mean, he may have to play, but it's not like a guy, he's going to be a guy you want out there playing snaps for you at quarterback in the NFL. No pocket presence. Look, I mean, the Jets did a terrible job in protection. There are lots of elements that went into that. I mean, one of the elements is Falk showed zero pocket presence. I mean, he could have stepped up. I mean, there were instances, one of the Myles Garrett sacks in particular, he could have stepped up. He just did not, and he has zero. I mean, I commented during the game that next to him, Chad Pennington and Ryan Fitzpatrick look like Matthew Stafford and Jay Cutler in terms of arm strength. I mean, one of the biggest completion he had was probably to Robbie Anderson, I mean, which was just an absolute duck down the right sideline. And he, I mean, Anderson adjusted. And it was such a duck that it actually ended up being a good throw because the defender had no shot to adjust to it. And, you know, ultimately, I think if you look back to this game, look, Cleveland's the more talented team. And when you get down to your backup quarterback, most teams don't have a shot in this. Most teams have a very small chance in this league. When you get down to your third quarterback, you really got no shot. I mean, how many teams can win with their third quarterback? It does not happen often. I know New England won the game a few years ago with Brissett playing against the Texans. And, you know, if you go back, you go back maybe 15, 20 years. I mean, there were a couple games where the Eagles had A.J. Feely in there. But it's once you get down to your third quarterback, I mean, we're entering the territory of like the 05 Jets when Vinny came off his couch, when Pennington and Fiedler got hurt in that game against Jacksonville week three, and Vinny Testaverde, who was retired, sitting on his couch, called them up and came back and actually won a game against Tampa Bay a few weeks later. And the Jets played out that season with Vinny and Brooks Bollinger, and even Cliff Kingsbury, got the guy who's the head coach of the Cardinals now. Cliff Kingsbury actually got a few snaps. I think there's a game against Denver, and we're entering that territory. It's a league where quarterback, you know, it's not just about having a quarterback, but if you don't have a quarterback in this league, it's very tough to win. And when you're down to, I mean, nobody has three quarterbacks in this league, and it's just, it becomes too much. And especially when you're down, what you were down tonight with the Jets, we were down Monday night with the Jets when no Mosley and no Quinnen Williams, your top draft pick, and you have corners who are not that good to begin with, and you don't really have any threat off the, I mean, it's just things piled up for this team, and it's, you have to expect the team's going to lose. And I guess where I struggle is I try and find the middle ground here, because, you know, I see people calling for Adam Gase's head, and I see people saying Gase is a terrible coach, and I say it's tough to expect Adam Gase to go out there and win this game. But with that said, I don't, you know, as a coach, you're either making things better or you're not. And that's where I kind of struggle a little bit, is I can't really tell you what Adam Gase did to increase the Jets' odds of having success. You know, I look at the play calling and I look across the league, and, you know, good play calling, what you're doing is you're staying a step ahead of the defense. You're keeping them off balance. You're creating situations where your guys have the chance to make plays. Jets have one premium playmaker on offense, Le'Veon Bell, and Bell, you know, did actually end up getting a bunch of carries in this game, but early in the game, that's the guy I would look to establish right off the bat. And he got, you know, the first three series were handoff on first down to Bell and then throw the ball with Simeon. So, I didn't really understand the game plan. There was no real attempt to try and, I mean, there was one. They did run a wildcat play, which everybody crushed them for, which I think is kind of unfair because it actually could have worked if Brian Winters had hit his block. But did they ever try and get a mismatch? Did they try and put him in the slot? After Simeon left the game, they actually got him rolling a little bit. They started establishing the run, but then you want to stay a step ahead of the defense. The second they start committing an extra guy to the box, that's when you go play action. That's when you take a shot. You base everything off Bell. You get him rolling, and then you run some fakes to him and open other guys up. And I don't see that. And the one thing you can, I guess you could debate that. I did not like the sequence before the half the Jets had. And to me, it's not even a question of, like, do you run out the clock or do you attack? It's more just you pick one or the other. So the Jets, you know, they ran the ball on first down. Cleveland only had two timeouts. The Jets could have run the clock out, and then they throw on second down, and then they run it on third down. So Cleveland's able to use their timeouts. So to me, it's like, if you want to attack, give yourself three cracks at it. Throw the ball down the field three times. Or if you want to run out of the clock, just run it three times into the line. Cleveland can't stop the clock. Instead, the Jets got the worst of both worlds because they minimized their chances. If they were going to attack, they minimized their chances by throwing it once. And they didn't run out the clock because they threw it once. So they did. It just, like, they tried to halfway. And look, part of it was Josh Bellamy dropped an easy pass. And if Josh, that play may have changed the game. We don't know. And maybe that's an extreme statement. Josh Bellamy dropping that pass may have changed the game. Terrible job by Josh Bellamy. But, you know, ultimately, sometimes that happens. Sometimes guys drop passes. That's why if you're going to attack, give yourself three shots, throw the ball. You know, don't halfway it. So I had an issue with that. And the Browns ended up getting 3 points partially as a result of that. And the other thing I'll say about the offensive coaching, and this is the one, like, I understand you can make the argument that play calling may not have helped with the personnel the Jets had. Okay, fine, you know, third quarterback. The one thing that nobody could defend on this, and this is the biggest strike against Gase in this game, is what were they doing with Myles Garrett? This is a premium pass rusher, and they treated him like they rolled out the red carpet to the quarterback for him. I mean, if the first time he went unblocked, I said, okay, well, they were in the wrong protection there, and I blamed it on the quarterback. But when he's going untouched to the quarterback multiple times, like, they're rolling out the red carpet, you know, it's the highway. Hey, Myles, here's a highway to the quarterback. What was the game plan? And even then, Beach, you know, when they did block him, they blocked him one-on-one with Beecham, and Beecham was clearly struggling. I mean, you went in knowing that that might be a tough matchup. It's one thing they probably should have planned to give Beecham more help. I can understand it if you didn't, but when you see Beecham struggling, you got to give him help. You got to, like, double team, send a chip, put a tight end over him, do something. I watch New England play. Whenever I watch New England play Houston, J.J. Watt, like, practically every play, he's getting a chip and a double team. Belichick says there's no way you're getting to, this guy's getting to Tom Brady. And it's Tom Brady. It's a guy who knows how to deal with pressure. The Jets are playing their third-string quarterback, and they're just saying they're not worried about Myles Garrett. No adjustment. I mean, that's Todd Bowles' zone lack of adjustments right there. I can't say, like, Adam Gase deserves to be fired because he lost this game, but I can't exonerate the coaching staff either in this game, because I don't think you can name me one thing they did that made success more likely for this team. I don't think, and I look, there are other teams I watch. I mean, look at the way Dallas schemes guys open with some of their pre-snap movements, how they've tricked the defense. There's none of that with the Jets. They did nothing to really maximize the ability of what playmakers they do have. So I can't come away saying that this was anything other than a subpar coaching job, even if it may not have cost the Jets the game, but it certainly did not improve the Jets' chances. MyBookie is fast and easy, and they pay when you win. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Did you know you can bet on games after kickoff? If by second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always take the other side. And if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, you can try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. The Jets lose 23-3 to the Cleveland Browns. They fall to 0-2 in the 2019 NFL season. We were talking about the offensive struggles in the first segment, the coaching issues, and I will say this, as I think that Greg Williams did a magnificent job in this game, and if not for a few plays here or there, some penalties at some inopportune times, one on Jamal Adams, one on Nate Hairston, both of which I think could have gone either way. And then some big plays, the two Odell Beckham big catches, the catch right before the half on the third down play that set up the field goal. I mean, those five plays, overall, I think the defense, especially considering how undermanned this defense was, played a really good game. And it's the same story. Jets defense plays its heart out. Offense can't do anything. How many times have we heard that one through the years? But, you know, from what I was watching, and I'm going to be interested to catch this on the second watch, but it seemed like Greg Williams kind of dialed back the blitzes. You know, Williams is a guy who likes to attack. And I said this on yesterday's show. If Greg Williams comes out and does a good job, I'm going to give him a lot of credit. And he made some comments about Odell Beckham that maybe he'd want back, because Beckham had a big game in this one. But yeah, I think Williams did a really good job. And, you know, you talk about the first segment coaching, about how the offense was undermanned. This actually is a good example of what coaching can do, because this defense was very undermanned. You know, no starting linebackers, corners are shaky, edge is shaky. And they played a pretty competitive game. And again, a few plays here or there, and this is a really good defensive. This is a great defensive performance. I mean, they really hold the Browns down if it's not for just a couple plays here or there. And I think what Williams did was kind of tone down the blitzing. Even when he blitzed, it seemed to me like he was only sending five. And again, this is first watch, so I don't get the benefit of a ton of replay angles examining it. Maybe it'll be different when I rewatch, but I felt like even when he was not sending the big blitzes. He was not sending 6, 7, 8. He was sending like 5 even when he was blitzing. And I think it seemed to me like the game plan was keep Baker Mayfield in the pocket. And, you know, Baker is most dangerous when he is kind of improvising, where he's trying to escape the pocket. And I think the game plan was, you know, you blitz him heavy, maybe he gets outside, you have a tough time containing him. So I think maybe what the game plan was to keep him in the pocket, force him to make reads, and they were disguising a lot of their looks. They were disguising which guys were coming as blitzers, they were disguising their coverages, it seemed like, and essentially forced Baker to decipher what's back there. And, you know, at this point, maybe he's not as pure of a pocket passer as he will be down the line. And even though you can't get a great conventional four-man pass rush, the fact that you're forcing him to take extra time to read the defense, maybe that means somebody gets home. And Terrell Basham, I thought, had a pretty strong game. He was in the backfield a couple times. Blake Cashman, I'll tell you, that was, you know, he did not play he was blocked out on a touchdown run, but I thought he was around the ball a lot. And a guy who maybe I'm giving this guy too much credit just because I love the compete level was Nate Hairston. And that was a trade I was a little iffy on, but if Nate Hairston, and it, you know, he was beaten early for the big play to Beckham. That really wasn't his fault. He was in great coverage. I mean, it was just a pinpoint accurate throw and a great catch by Beckham. I can't blame him for that. And there was a holding penalty on a fourth down to extend a drive. Again, that was tight call. But, I mean, I love he made some big hits. He was around in coverage. Like, I actually, after a year in a game of Trumaine Johnson and watching him get burned and watching him just not really mix it up in coverage, it was nice to see Nate Hairston out there, and Nate Hairston deserved to play. And the one thing I'll say for Gase, and maybe this is Gase and Williams, I applaud them for benching Trumaine Johnson. I absolutely applaud them for that. And I love the fact that that's one of the few things I will say for Gase, and I'll also say for Greg Williams. you know, I love the fact that they're showing it. It doesn't matter how much money you're making. You'll get your paycheck, but we're playing the best guys. So I think that that's a good thing. I was pleased to see that with the Jets. And it, just overall, I mean, I think, again, you have to judge it based on the player. This is not like one of those Rex Ryan defenses where you have prime Revis, you have David Harris even. You know, it's a defense that has a lot of flaws on it when everybody's healthy. And in this on this night, they were missing two of their better players. And I think all things considered, 23 points, again, with the benefit, it was not like the Browns were moving the ball up and down the field. I think there were many points where Baker Mayfield was kind of rattled. I think Greg Williams got in his head a little bit by mixing the coverages. You know, Baker was expecting to see certain things in coverage, and he wasn't getting them. And he was getting, you know, he was getting a little jittery. You know, he was getting a little... he was getting a little flustered, and I think that that's a credit to Greg Williams. And I think, you know, I tip my cap to the defense. You know, given what they've got here, that's not bad. I mean, I think it was a relatively decent performance. You couldn't judge it based on Monday night, but it's frequently fun to go out and see a game. And boy, prices are probably going to go down later in the season, given the year the Jets look like they're on their way to having. You can get tickets through Vivid Seats, and with the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program, you can attend the game or concert or show of your choice and earn credits toward your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source of tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for the seats in the section and row of your choice. It's all in the Vivid Seats app. And to make things even easier, Vivid Seats now has a Rewards Loyalty Program that allows fans to earn credit back. You go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From all the biggest concerts and shows and games, even though it doesn't look like the Jets are going to be playing many big games this year, but again, tickets may be cheap. And Vivid Seats has you covered. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app get you where you want to go. And if you enter promo code KICKOFF, KICKOFF at checkout, you'll receive a discount of up to $100 at the Vivid Seats app. We're recapping a game that was just a horror show for the Jets. They lose 23-3 to the Cleveland Browns at MetLife Stadium. You know, who were some of the culprits in this game? Well, Kelvin Beachum just got dominated by Myles Garrett. And, you know, we talked in the first segment about how maybe that's not the matchup the coaching staff should have allowed, but Beachum really looked bad in that game. Just multiple sacks, multiple penalties. It was a tough matchup for him. You know, we talked in the preview show yesterday about how that would be a key matchup in this game. And boy, was it ever. And Garrett wrecked this game. He just annihilated the Jets. And part of it was that sometimes just decided, hey, we're not going to block Myles Garrett. That was a hideous performance by Beachum. And really the offensive line in general. You know, Le'Veon Bell had a good game, I thought, in this. And his stats don't look good. I mean, he just it's scary to think what this team would look like. What this run game would look like if with an average back in there, because Le'Veon Bell's stats aren't that good, and he's creating yards left and right. Just ugly, and then they can't pass protect. I mean, it's just the offensive line looks like a mess. The offensive line looks like a unit that did not play together in preseason. So that, you know, that's just ugly. You know, on the defensive side of the ball, Leonard Williams, yeah, and you know, I keep trying to see something good in Leonard Williams, and I just don't see it. I mean, it's just, and we're getting to the point where you just wonder, is Leonard Williams just a guy? He was totally taken out of a play on a touchdown run. He really did not make an impact. Second straight week. I mean, is it ever going to click for Leonard Williams? Josh Bellamy, the big drop, and that was a big drop. I mean, the Jets, if he makes that play, he probably has some room to run. Maybe the Jets can generate something, get a score, get a little momentum before the half. Jeez. And this guy's one of the highest paid. This guy may be, I don't have the numbers in front of me. He may be the highest paid backup. If not, he's one of the highest paid backup receivers in the league. And why, I still don't know. And, you know, Brian Poole, I thought, played an okay game, but it looked to me like he got kind of lost on the long Beckham touchdown. So his game takes a little bit of a hit there. You know, just lots of ugly performances for the Jets in this one. And things start to look bleak. I mean, one good thing is that maybe the Jets found a kicker because Sam Ficken made his one field goal attempt. So maybe that long saga is over. But overall, just an it's not looking good because now we got New England. And let's say the Jets lose that game. Now they're 0-3. Can the Jets beat New England without their starting quarterback? Could the Jets beat New England with their starting quarterback? That's an open question. But can the Jets beat New England without a starting quarterback after how good New England looks? That's a lot to ask. So let's say the Jets lose this game. Now they're 0-3. I believe there are seven teams in the Super Bowl era, and that's over 50 years. Seven teams in the last 50 years have started 0-3 and made the playoffs in the NFL. And here's the problem with that. And look, the Texans did it last year, but I'll tell you the real issue with that is, let's say you need to win. Let's say 9-7 gets you in, and a lot of years 9-7 doesn't get you in. Let's say 9-7 gets you in. So that means the Jets need to win 9 of their last 13 games. So that means the Jets need to play 700 ball the rest of the season to make the playoffs. Has this team showed you anything that suggests they can play 700 ball? And that's if 9 wins gets you into the playoffs. Because if 10 wins gets you into the playoffs, Jets need to win over 75% of their remaining games. And that's why the math becomes normal. That's why these first couple weeks were so important. And, boy, this is a season that just looks like, unless something dramatic happens, it looks like this thing is going to turn really ugly. And it's funny because in recent years, we've had some Jets seasons where it's gotten bad, but it's at least you've avoided like the absolute nightmare scenario. 17, they got off to that 0-2 start, and I thought, boy, we're heading for a 2-14 kind of year. And then they went on a three-game winning streak. And even though they finished 5-11, there were at least some good moments. Last year, they got off to a rough start, but they put together a two-game winning streak and were able to stabilize things, at least relatively early in this. I don't know where these wins are coming from with these, without the quarterback. Boy, something dramatic is going to have to happen for this team to turn things around. But that'll be our discussion for a different show. That's all for today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe to it. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify are among your options. And please leave the show a good review if you do like it. Hope you have a great Tuesday, everybody, or at least as good as you can be after watching that performance. And get your mailbag questions in early this week. It looks like we're going to have a Wednesday mailbag show the way the schedule is shaping out. So if you have a mailbag question, please send it to me early. And we may be doing the mailbag tomorrow. Take care, everybody. Have a good day.